the better you understand the rules and the more skilled you get, the more successful you become.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Collaboration and working together, that's what we're going to do today. The Art of Construction is going to be bringing in the Entree Architect podcast founder, Mark LePage, who is also the owner principal of Five Cat Studios. So I listened to his podcast show and has been very inspiration to driving our show. And we're really excited to have Mark into Studio MVWD today.
Well, yeah, and he comes from a place, I mean, for those that know here in the West or other parts of the country that may not be familiar, I mean, he's based in Westchester County, New York. So he's got some real substantial background in the architectural community in addition to this new service that he's providing that we're going to talk about. So,
and that's what's so cool is we're here in Denver, Colorado. Go Broncos, just winning the Super Bowl. We're riding it high here. And I'm also the president and owner of Mountain View Window and Door, Devin Tilley.
And I'm Kevin Keefe, Chief Relationship Officer and Sales Representative for Mountain View Window and Door.
So for all of you Entree Architect listeners that I know Mark is going to be sharing this with, welcome into Studio MVWD, and we can't wait to get in and have a fireside chat with Mark LePage.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage. These days, I'd say it's a slushy, a smoothie.
Smoothie, there
smoothie.
You go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Homemade or?
I got one sitting right here. Yeah, homemade.
I made it. Perfect.
I just started a couple of months ago drinking these things, and I like them. I got some kale and some banana and apple and almond milk. It's really good.
Nice. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
St. Lawrence River, upstate New York, all the way up on the border of Canada. My parents have a little house up there that I bring my kids up to every summer, and been 2.5-3 weeks up there with my parents.
Probably not too much time in the winter, I would imagine, that you're up
there. No, they shut down the house in the winter, and they moved down to Florida, so they have a nice life.
That's perfect.
I think you mentioned that in kind of your lead-in on your first kind of getting into your podcast that we're going to talk about later, right?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. It's my favorite place on the planet.
Nice.
Tell us, what's your favorite interests, hobby, things you like to do?
I have a 1969 black Camaro that I've had since I was 16. And that's a long time, if anybody knows how old I am now. That was back in 1986, so you can do the math. That's when I bought it. And my father was an auto mechanic, and so fast cars and hot rods are in my blood. So that's what I do when I'm not doing architecture and an Entree Architect.
Well, that's exciting, and we are excited to have Mark LePage, who is the founder of the Entree Architect. He's the owner principal of Five Cat Studio out of New York. We're really excited to have you into Studio MVWD and peel back some of the layers and talk through what is the Entree Architect and you living day to day actually practicing through Five Cat Studio. And I kind of want to start out by you telling us, I'm sitting here looking at my show notes here of a picture of the greasy used car salesman and just got done listening to episode 109, which is titled Five Steps to Successful Sales for Small Firm Architects. Mark, take the floor and tell us about your podcast, The Entree Architect, and then we're going to dive in and kind of replay the five steps that you talk through on your show, because my goal or what I want to get out of this is the Art of Construction followers are going to learn about an awesome podcast called The Entree Architect. And then vice versa, hopefully the Entree Architect listeners will hear about the Art of Construction, and then we can go down and talk about us at the AIA conference and things like that. So we are excited to listen and hear you talk about the Entree Architect here on the Art of Construction.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity for being here, guys. I think this is a great opportunity to come here and tell my story and maybe inspire a few architects and maybe a few non-architects. So, and that's what I love to do. I really love to inspire people to sort of reach out beyond what they think they can do. And that's really what Entree Architect's about. I started my firm, and I'm a licensed architect in New York State. I'm married to a lovely woman who happens to be my partner at Five Cat Studio, who's also an architect. Her name is Anne Marie McCarthy, and we started our firm in 1999. And I say all the time that we started it with no money and no projects. We were 29 years old, and we just sort of jumped off the cliff and did it. It's something that I always wanted to do. Entrepreneurism has always been in my blood. With a father who owned his own repair shop, I sort of lived that life of an entrepreneur. The ups and the downs of it. And so we started Five Cat Studio in Westchester County, New York. We're about 40 minutes north of New York City. We started that in 1999. And like many small firms, we sort of struggled a lot up front. It really, really was painful to sort of start from scratch and learn the lessons and make the mistakes that you make as a small firm architect and do the things you need to do to grow. And we got to the point where we were doing really well. We were really successful. We did lots of work with marketing. My passion, which is certainly will become evident as I tell my story here, is business. I really, really love the game of business. I like the idea of learning the rules of business, getting really good at those rules, and playing a game that the better you understand the rules and the more skilled you get, the more successful you become. And I learned that probably about 5 years into being a firm owner. I got to the point where we were doing pretty well, but we sort of hit a plateau, and everything I did, I couldn't figure out how to fix the problem to grow beyond where we were. And so I decided to enroll in a local community college program called the Academy for Entrepreneurial Excellence, which you'll see is sort of an inspiration for something that we're doing over at Entree Architect today. But essentially, it was a 15-week course where you go every week and they would focus on one topic of business. And I used it as a checklist. I used it as a way to identify the things that I was doing well and the things that I was doing wrong. And I would come home every week, you know, my wife expecting us to sort of solve the problems that we've had. And every week I'd come back and I'd say, Anne-Marie, we're doing that one right. We're doing that one right. And we're doing that one right. And every week I'd come back and we would check off the boxes and we were doing them all right, which was great that we were doing it all right. But it was getting very frustrating as well that we weren't finding the solution until we hit the week where they talked about sales. And sales was something that we weren't doing. I thought we were selling, but like many architects, we weren't. You know, most architects don't sell. They do great architecture, and many of us do great marketing. We're great about talking about our architecture and presenting it to the world. And so lots of people know who we are and what we do, but we're not good at selling. And when we hit the selling week, that's when everything took off. We realized we weren't selling. We didn't have a selling system. We didn't have a sales system. We didn't have a process that we would go through to create more sales, to get more projects the way we want. And that sort of launched Five Cat Studio into the next level. We grew and we hired a bunch of people. We got to the point just before the big recession where we were working on about $10 million worth of construction projects, all residential, mostly alterations and additions. So they were big additions and alterations projects, but all residential, and about $10 million worth of them in the year just before the recession. And sort of make a long story short, we grew to that point. We survived through the recession with lots of struggle and pain. And we got to the other side and we were a much smaller firm. A lot of people had moved on, did other things. And we had the opportunity to close our studio, which at that point was a 2,000 square foot space and a bunch of employees. And we closed that studio. We sent everybody home and we turned it into a virtual studio. We had the opportunity, we saw this opportunity to come back and use the tools that we have today and save a lot of overhead with a big studio space and basically rebuild our company with a totally different business model, which we're into for about almost 2 years now. And it's doing really well. So that's sort of the story of Five Cat Studio. All along, I'm a business guy. It's what I do. My wife is sort of the design side of the firm. I'm the business guy in the firm. And I started a blog called Entrepreneur Architect in 2007, I think. And it was a personal blog. It was just a place where I could drop my ideas. It was a place where as I learned these things and I found these links, I could post them there. And I'd have a place to go back and find them when I wanted to. And by making it a blog, it became public and other people started following it. And so this community of small firms started growing around this idea of Entrepreneur Architect. The people were looking for the same things I was looking for. So the traffic on the blog started to grow. And the community, I started making these connections with these other small firms who were in similar positions that I was. They were looking for the same things. And that community kept encouraging me to make this something bigger, that there was a void in our profession of architecture, that there was nobody talking about business. And especially nobody was talking about business for small firms doing what we do. And so through lots of encouragement in 2011, I announced something I called my 12-12-12 project. It was a call to action to other architects to do something big, to do something life-altering, and make it your 12-12-12 project, that on December 12th, 2012, you would launch something that would change something big. It would either change your life or it would change the lives of others. And so my 12-12-12 project was Entrepreneur Architect, was to take Entrepreneur Architect from a blog, my personal blog, and launch it to become a platform, to become a resource for small firm architects to learn how to build better businesses. And that's where it launched. It launched on December 12, 2012, entrearchitect.com. That same day, I launched the podcast, which you had mentioned. So the Entree Architect podcast, there's the Entrepreneur Architect blog that we post out every week. We have a great newsletter, the Entree Architect Report, and we have a tremendous social media network that we're on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. And the community since 2012 has exploded. We have a tremendous number of people who are following us, are interested in doing what we're doing. And about 2 years ago, we launched something called the Entree Architect Academy, which is a private membership group for small firms that they can join, and they get resources and a great private community inside Entree Architect to help support and encourage one another and build better businesses. And so that's become a very, very successful community. And that's pretty much where we are today. We just relaunched. You had mentioned Charette Venture Group. Charette Venture Group was interested in what we were doing. I was interested in what they were doing. We had very parallel missions. They are a venture capital group that invests in small firms, that helps small firms grow into big firms, big, successful, financial, profitable firms. And they saw an opportunity to connect with me, with my community, and they invested in me. I was actually their first investment, and they became a partner at Entree Architect. We, through that opportunity, rebuilt and relaunched the entire platform and relaunched in January, this January 2016. Relaunched the Academy, reformatted the Academy, made that even better. And that's pretty much where we are today. We just relaunched, and we're really excited about the growth that's happening at Entree Architect.
That's exciting. Now, one question I had, Mark, in looking at your website, in addition to what you described, you also have what seems to me to be a pretty robust store that I would presume is available to the public, where you've got forms and other items that are available. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. The store is something that we've had for a long time. It's become much more formalized in the new relaunch. And it's a place where architects could come. And actually, a lot of these tools, a lot of the things we do at Entree Architect certainly can apply to anybody. Business is business. And, you know, I'm focused on architects because architects tend to be artists and they tend to forget that they're in business. And so I sort of come at it from a very different point of view. But all the resources, the podcast, the blog, the store are certainly valuable to anybody who's running a small business. And the store has things like our foundations documents, which is 50 plus business forms and checklists that I developed for my own firm over the years that, you know, typically when you launch a firm, you start with nothing. And over the years, you need another form and you create it and another form and you create it. And so over 15 years, we created more than 50 forms and I packaged that up and I sell it to anybody who wants to buy it. So they don't need to create each one of those forms. We also have something called a hybrid proposal, which is a really user-friendly owner-architect agreement that sort of is an alternative to the larger, scarier legal documents, has all the same legal information in it, but it's much more client-friendly as far as the way it looks and the way it functions. That's available there. And then we also have some courses. There's a course called the Get Focused course, which is a productivity course for architects, and we're in the process of developing a whole bunch of other courses. And in the Academy, all that stuff is included in the Academy. Members get all that stuff for free, and everything else that we develop, they get for free. So.
Now, one of the other things I noticed on your website is it appears that you have limited availability to the Academy, or that I should say it fills up. So maybe you can describe a little bit about how that works.
The membership, the enrollment periods open up periodically. So we just closed enrollment in January. We had a relaunch enrollment, and we're up to about 70 members right now. And the intent is to, for one, make it exclusive. So when you want to join, you really take the commitment and you really hold yourself accountable to join this group, because we really want people who are active in this group. This is a very interactive group. It's not something you just buy and you get a bunch of resources. You can do all that outside of the Academy. Inside the Academy is mostly about the community. It's about the connections that you make with other architects. And so we open up enrollment so architects come in at the same time and they feel like they're a class coming into the Academy. They all are connected inside the academy, the members are broken up into smaller groups. There are about 10 to 15 members, and they meet together on a regular basis once a week to talk about very specific topics. And then once a month, we have an expert come in, an expert on a specific topic, to give us a webinar. So we have a very high value training session from an expert. We just finished one with Rochelle Carrington, who is a Sandler sales expert, and she taught us about sales. And so that was a really great session. We've had Rena Klein give us one on financial planning. And we have every month, it's a different theme. So that's sort of how the restructuring of Entree Architect has come about. The new format is every month, it's a specific theme throughout the entire platform. So the first month, January, was finance. The second month was business development and sales. Next month is leadership. And so the blog and the podcast and inside the academy, it's all the same theme. So you get all of the information on a specific thing. So throughout the year, by the time you hit the end of the year, you'll have everything you need to know how to run a successful business.
Well, that's a great explanation of the Entree Architect and really sets the standard as far as if you're a small firm architect, you definitely should look into that, because as we're always talking about, architects are great artists and great at working in the business, but they struggle on working on the business. And I want to give credit where credit is due, as architects are kind of the lifeline of Mountain View Window and Door and the art of construction. And Todd Redding, we had as a guest on show 37, and listening to the Entree Architect, heard Todd Redding on your show, and I was like, it's such an impressive architect business plan, and it's a small world out there, right? Because now here we are today, and we're going to be meeting in person at the National AIA show. So I'd love for you to tell us about the Charette Venture Group and Todd Redding and what they're doing with the Architect Business Plan Competition. And hopefully our two podcasts can really align here, and we'll be in person as we're both sponsors for that event. To get the full story, go back to show 37, but give us the quick synopsis of that for the listeners that haven't had the pleasure of listening to that show on ours, as well as Todd Redding as a guest on the Entree Architect.
Yeah, sure. I really am excited about what Charette Venture Group is doing in general. I'll give you a little bit of a background on Charette. It was founded by Matt Ostenick, who is an architect, a practicing architect, who developed a software for submittals and built that into a software company that he sold that product to other architects. A big company came along, bought his small company, and then went public. And so Matt did pretty well financially, and he wanted to take that money and turn it right back to the profession. And now he invests, he's taken his money, and now his money is how Charette has been funded, and give back to small firms, to go back and teach small firms how to build better businesses by investing in them. So they make deals with small firms, they invest in those small firms with capital and resources, and then they benefit from however they get compensated for their deal. Each deal, I believe, is different. But essentially, they grow these small firms into larger, more successful firms. And their business plan competition, they've done this as a third year on their architecture business plan competition. I've been on the jury since the beginning, so this is the third year. And it's a great competition. It not only brings focus to Charette Venture Group, that people can see what they're doing, but it inspires and encourages architects to build a business plan. So many of us don't have a business plan. Some of us have started business plans. When I started FiveCat,
not all architects have a business plan?
No. And even I, business guy, knew I needed one. And I had probably a dozen of them started and never finished one until I realized through that academy that I spoke about earlier that it could be simple. It could be a one-page business plan with a vision and a mission and goals and some actions, and you're done. And just let that be the plan, and then use that as a framework to build it into a bigger, more powerful plan as you go along. And once you realize that it doesn't have to be this big, scary document that everybody talks about, you can actually put together a really simple business plan that gets you to where you want to go. And Charette has created this great competition to encourage architects to do just that, to create these business plans. And then we judge them. And the finalists, five of them, will be selected. They'll be brought to Philadelphia this year to the AIA convention on Charette's dime. They'll pay for their lodging and their flights. And they will present live to our jury. And then we'll pick a winner right there, and we'll announce the winner live in Philadelphia, and then have a big reception and a big party and celebrate their win. And they get $10,000 to the winner. And so it's a really big deal. It's a great competition, and it's a great event.
And I love tying the different shows together, and we try to make them all global and timeless so that you can go back. And in our show notes, we'll put another reference back to Todd Redding, where he tells the story about Charrette Venture Group. And we'll do the same for your show with the Entree Architect. Tell us, what is the Entree Architect podcast, and kind of the one line, why would a architect, contractor, or construction person listen to your show that is currently listening to The Art of Construction?
What I do every week, whether it's me talking or bringing on a guest, is my goal is to inspire small firm architects to build better businesses. It's a once a week podcast, and every week we focus on a specific subject. And either I'm talking about my feelings on it and my thoughts and training on the things that I've learned, or I bring on an expert and we talk through an interview and talk about that. It's a way to connect with my community and provide valuable information and sort of wake them up to realize that they are in business, that they need to build profitable firms in order to be better architects.
So now he's going to get a bunch of guests on the Entree Architect family to listen to The Art of Construction. Tell us what The Art of Construction is all about, Kevin.
Well, The Art of Construction is, and it's almost common denominator with what you're just describing there, Mark, and that is that we really are intending to help architects and contractors grow their business. It's that simple. And so we're bringing folks on like yourself and trying to come up with subject matter that they can benefit from, even if it's just one little idea that helps grow their business. That's the objectives.
Perfect. So to tie it back to what I said all the way at the beginning, as far as I was really inspired listening to your last show, I think you really nailed it when you said architects are such good artists, but they struggle with working on the business and, most importantly, sales. That quote unquote sales thing is just a scary word. I don't want to be a sales guy. And we're always talking about that when we're talking in Studio MVW about architects. So I'd love to have you kind of reiterate for the listeners on The Art of Construction about episode 109. Tell us those 5 steps to successful sales for small firm architects, but leave the carrot dangled because I want them to go back and listen to your show.
Yeah, I'd say it's a tongue twister, isn't it? That's a perfect example of the Entree Architect podcast. Is I pick one subject and I try to break it down so it's really simple, really easy to understand, because sometimes people make it more complicated than it really needs to be. And really, there's 5 basic steps to a sales system. Is that you need to understand your prospect, you need to know who they are, you need to know where they live and what they do, what their problems are, what their pains are, the things that make them tick. And how do they decide? You need to know that. You need to understand who your prospect is and who you're going after. I talk a lot about target markets. Architects generally don't like to be niched down to one specific target market. They'd rather do everything. But when you do everything, then you have 10 target markets. You have 10 people you need to understand. If you can focus in on one target market, one specific type of client, one specific prospect, then you only really need to know one, and you can get to know them really, really, really well and become an expert for that market. So understand your prospect is the first one. The second one is use a plan. Basically, develop a sales system. You need to understand the process of sales and use that and document it, put it in writing. And so you probably already have a sales system and you don't even know it. You don't even call it that. But you do the same thing every time a prospect calls. You say the same words and ask the same questions. So take those words and those questions and turn it into a system. Write it down, go through the entire process from the initial call through the qualification to your initial meeting, putting together your proposal, then following up, and then following up again, and then following up again. That's something that architects typically don't do. That was the piece I was missing when I talked about finally learning what I needed to learn, the thing that I wasn't doing, was that one specific task was the follow-up. I would send the proposal out and I'd wait for the phone to ring. And that was it. I would never follow up. And so now we follow up and we follow up again and we follow up again and we follow up over and over and over again until we get to a certain point where a client will respond to us, either say we're not interested or they're going to go ahead. Because very often the decision making takes a year.
Push for the no, right?
Right. Push for the no, right? I'd rather somebody say, no, we're not interested and go on to my next one than to just sit there and think they're going to hire me and keep pursuing, or just sitting around waiting, which is even worse. So create that sales system. use a plan as a second step. The third one is schedule time. So now you've created that plan. You want to review that process. You want to revise that process. You want to improve it every single week. You want to work that process every week. So schedule a time specifically on your calendar. Put it on your daily calendar with everything else. Make it a repeatable item on your calendar so it happens every week. And every week, you review your process, you revise your process, you improve your process, and you work your process. You make those phone calls that you need to make. You do those follow-up calls. You send those emails. You prepare those proposals all at the same time every week. And so schedule time is your third step. The fourth step is to believe, is to have the confidence that what you're doing is important. So many architects really are afraid of this sales thing. They're afraid of making money. They think this is bad. But if you look at it, if you shift your mindset to the more money you make, the better the world becomes. Because as architects, we're creating these amazing spaces. We're making our clients' lives better, literally better. We improve their lives. So if you shift your mindset from that sales are bad and that money is bad to the more money I make, the more impact I have on the world, then you're going to be better at sales. So have that confidence and believe in what you're doing and be passionate about it, and let people that you're selling understand that you believe in what you're doing, that you're passionate about it. And then the fifth step is to set expectations. So set ground rules with your prospects. Explain the process. Talk about money. Talk about all the steps that you're going to go through from the beginning to the end. Specifically in the sales process, let them know what to expect throughout the process. Understand how much they want to spend, and then help gauge their expectations. So if you go to a client meeting or a prospect meeting and they want to spend $50,000 on a project that'll cost $200,000 to build, you want to know that right up front. And you want them to understand that it will cost more than they expect. So you're not wasting your time, you're not wasting their time. And like you said before, go for the no. You really want to have a client tell you or a prospect tell you, no, we're not interested. We're going to go with somebody else, or we're not going to do the project, rather than sort of hoping that they're going to do it. Because when they say, I'll think it over, which is what they usually say, that's just hope. I'd rather have no than just sit around and hope that they're going to come back. And so those are the five steps. Understand your prospect, use a plan, schedule time, believe, and set expectations.
Yeah, that's a great summary of the five steps, and you're excellent, I think, a podcast description of that. But for those listeners that want more meat, there's a lot more meat, because that podcast itself is about 30 minutes long. So there's a lot of extra detail, and we'll have links on the show notes so that our listeners can go there as well.
It's phenomenal. And when I'm hiring a new sales rep or talking, it's like everybody wants to sugarcoat it. Talk price early and often. And I love how you talk about drive for the no. To know that you'd move on to the next one, and don't take it personal. And if you get it, no, go back to the beginning and understand why. Were you going to the wrong prospect? Did you not have the right plan? Did you not schedule enough time? Did you not believe in yourself properly? Did you not have enough confidence? All those things. And then you truly set those expectations all over again. And I love how you keep it simple. Keep it to where it's something you can digest and understand. So now I'm going to ask you, as the owner principal of Five Cat Studio in New York, give us the one-liner as how you live these five steps on a day-to-day basis.
I schedule time. In order to get to where I want to go, we only have 168 hours a week. Everybody has the same number of hours. And if you sleep and you eat and you exercise and you do some other things, you're basically cutting those 168 hours in half. And so you only have 84 hours to do everything that you want to do. And so the only way you can do that is to prioritize the things that are most important and get them on your calendar. And that's really how I get my sales done. That's how I get my architecture done. That's how I build my business, is that I have blocks of time on my calendar to do the things I want to do. I am completely maxed out on my number of hours. I run a full-time architecture firm. I am building Entree Architect into an influential platform for the profession. I have two dogs, five cats, and three kids, and a wife. And so I am totally maxed out. From my point of view, I'm succeeding in all of them. And it's a matter of getting it on your calendar, knowing what's most important, and making sure you get the most important things
done. That's great. And one of the things I think that's impressive to me is in your description about believing in step four, you described directly what I think a lot of architects, what their mindset is. You're talking about believing in yourself, recognizing the importance of selling, and for them to focus on improving lives and how important that is. Because honestly, that's what we get feedback from so many architects, that that's why they're so passionate about it, is because they believe that the architecture that they're providing, that really does help people change and improve their lives. And a lot of times when it comes to thinking of sales, they think if they're making a lot of money that they might be a sellout. Whereas the way you describe it is, think of that as providing yourself the ability to continue to improve lives through selling more and having a better bottom line.
Right. I'm right. Use it as a metric. More money you make, the better the world becomes.
I love it.
No, that's great.
So tell us about the most unique project that you've worked on in the past 12 months.
It's been more than 12 months, but there's a 1969 glass house up here in Westchester County, modern white box with glass that we did a major renovation on. It was a really exciting project. We restored the original St. Charles kitchen, updated the bathrooms, reconfigured your master bathroom and the master bedroom to put in a new modern master bathroom that works really well with the existing 1969 modern house. So when we get to do projects like that, it's really exciting. I mean, we live in Westchester County, and most of Westchester County is pretty traditional. It's very dense, very, you know, traditional homes. So when you get an opportunity to do something like that, it's really exciting.
Now, I know you also, from looking at your website, you also worked on the renovation of the Frank Lloyd Wright, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but Usonia?
Usonia, yes.
Yeah. Yep. And maybe you could describe a little bit about that, because we have so many architects that really are inspired by Frank Lloyd Wright, so not many people get to work on a renovation for one of those. So maybe you could describe a little bit about how that worked out for you.
Yeah, that project actually was the renovation project by a project architect that worked for Five Cat, who's no longer with us. He's on his own. Mm-hmm. His name is Bjorn Slate. That was his project, and he did a great job on it.
Nice. So on the flip side of that, what has been the most challenging project, and tell us why as of late?
I would say that the most challenging projects are the ones where clients don't trust. Our best projects are by far the projects where a client trusts in what we do. They recognize the skills and the talents we have, and they allow us to be caretakers of not only their home, but their budget, and lets us do what we do best. And the clients who don't have that trust, don't allow us to do the things we do, and really aren't completely transparent with their true budget, are the projects where the relationships fall apart, the project never gets to the level that it could have if they trusted us from the beginning. And so I would say no specific project, but those projects that occasionally where the client is sort of just a mistrustful person, and they just don't give us the ability to do our best work. Those are the projects that are most struggling.
You know, you hit on something that I think is really important. We had a guest on, and this happens to be an architect that we do business with here locally, Michael Knorr, and he described his process in sitting down with prospective clients and spending a significant amount of time and devoting a lot of pages in terms of a questionnaire for the potential customer for them to give an idea of what it is that they're trying to achieve from the standpoint of the project in terms of what that is going to allow them to feel like, to experience. It's a real experiential kind of a process he goes through. And he says that that really helps him not only understand a little bit better about what they're trying to achieve, but to build that trust. So maybe you could talk a little bit about some things that have worked well for you in that arena in terms of trying to help build that trust a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's something that we do as well. We call it a pre-designed client questionnaire that we've developed. It's actually part of our foundations package that we sell over at Entree Architect. And it's about a 10-page questionnaire of all sorts of questions. It gets us all the information we need from sort of a technical point of view. We know what building department to deal with and whether they're fuel oil burners or gas burners. All of that kind of stuff. But then we also ask about what their favorite space is in their house. Do they read a lot? Do they watch television? Why is their favorite space their favorite space? We have one page that's just a list of about 200 descriptive words, and we ask them to check off the words that most appeal to them. Then we go through a process of collecting images. We call them the love folder. Well, they used to be folders. They used to be tear sheets out of magazines.
Right,
now
right.
Everybody's doing it on Houzz and
on
Pinterest
Houzz
now. And so now they're idea boards, but we call it the love folder and the loathe folder. Most architects and most homeowners go through the process of selecting the things they love. They have pictures of all the kitchens they like and the houses they love. But even more important is the loathe folder, to fill that with things that they don't like. So we can have that conversation of what they don't like and why they don't like it. So we know better than they know, because now they've actually gone through this process as well, what they like and what they don't like. So when we design something, we can actually design it to be exactly what they want. And what's interesting is very often what they want is not what they expect. And when we go through that process with them with this questionnaire and we sit down and we talk to them about their answers, we're building rapport, we're building trust, and we're creating these potential schemes that they did not even have in their mind. It does exactly what they want it to do. So it's what they want, but what they expected was something completely different. And this process allows us to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that when we were having this conversation with Michael Knorr, it was kind of like a light bulb going off, because we all recognize that architecture is very much of an emotive, artistic process. But a lot of times what happens during the process is very much details in terms of sticks, bricks, and other fits and finishes and so on, and gets lost in the shuffle, and it's bad for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been a great conversation and a lot of leave behinds, and I hope we've set the stage as far as our two different shows and listening to us converse. I think there's a lot of similarities, and if you're into this, listening to both shows, you get a lot out of that. Or if you're going to be at the National AIA Conference in Philadelphia in May, both the Art of Construction will be represented with Kevin and I, as well as Mark will be there as a judge, and it's our first time being at that. So we're really excited to be part of that business plan competition. And it's a small world out there, and that's what I always love about doing this, is you come into Studio MBWD just listening or understanding, but you really peel back the layers and really get to know the people behind the art of construction, right?
The number one thing that I love most about Entree Architect is the connections I make, the people I make, the relationships and the friends that I've made over the internet that are really true friends, that if I needed them tomorrow, they'd can come and help me today. And a lot of those friends are virtual. A lot of those friends are people that I've only met over the internet. And when we come together at the convention, a lot of them show up and we sit down like we've known each other for a decade. It's really amazing the connections we make and the relationships we've built.
Pretty
That's
awesome.
So cool. So as a learning organization here on the Art of Construction, if there's one thing you could say for all of our listeners, both now our new followers on the Entree Architect, which you can go into our website and subscribe and get. We're not going to get you with a bunch of garbage, just the marketing gold on the releases and that kind of stuff, as well as following the other show. What's the one thing you want to leave behind for the listeners here today, Mark?
Share what you know. I say it at the end of every podcast. Share what you know. I think architects and business people in general really feel that what they know is their gold. It's what makes them successful. But in fact, what really makes you successful are the relationships that you make. And if we can share what we know, if we take the knowledge that we have and we share it with others, the entire profession becomes a stronger, more powerful profession. Inside and outside of architecture, it's the same thing. If you share your knowledge, others will start to share their knowledge, and we'll all learn and benefit from that.
Awesome.
Well, you definitely know a lot, and thanks for showing us and collaborating and not looking at us as competition, but I think coming together at our two podcasts that are specifically made for the architectural community, hopefully now we can work together and continue those efforts. And thank you for taking the time and coming into Studio MVWD and telling your story.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, both of you, for inviting me. This has been great.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Bye-bye.
You think we're going to have a few more listeners for each show after that?
Absolutely, we'll have more listeners now. Think about it. I mean, our whole focus is to try to help architects and contractors grow their business. And again, whether you are a contractor or an architect, Mark LePage's systems and programs that he describes can do nothing but help your business.
I think we sold a few more listeners without being salesy today.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at Kevin here. I don't see a grease ball. I see a guy that truly cares about growing our customers' business. And as we were talking, I loved how Mark was saying, as virtually you meet these people, and then like the AIA show in Philadelphia, it's like now I am that much more excited to go to this and meet him in person. And quite frankly, cut to the chase, I know that much more about him, and it's, you can kind of, you don't have to do the whole intro phase. And that's what I think these podcasts do for us all, is to truly help grow our business. As we talked about, He has 168 hours per week. What's the best way to use those hours?
No, absolutely. One of the things he talked about at the very end is to share information. And there's an old adage or an old saying that givers gain. And the reality is if you give information, if you share, people will share back. And none of us know everything. So that's the beauty of this is you collaborate with people in the architectural community like this that are going to be able to, for a small firm architect or even for larger firms that may have some areas that they need some focus on, he can provide a heck of a lot of resources and input that's going to be very beneficial. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I can't wait to have my sales reps listen to this. I love how he makes it so simple with the five steps and reiterating that. And it's, you know, Mountain View does that same stuff, what we call the needs analysis when we're prospecting, using a plan. We're constantly talking about doing a few things very well and having a focus plan for all that and putting your time to that focus plan. And believe, man, if there's one thing as I've learned in this industry, it's like when I started, is confidence is king. And how do you get that confidence? Well, you got to put in the hours, but also fast track it by listening to people like Mark that have done it and help fast track that and truly inspire and believe and then set those expectations to hold you and your team accountable.
Well, and I think it's fascinating when you listen to his personal story. He and his wife created this great firm, and yet there was something that wasn't quite clicking in one area, and it took him going through that 15-week course to get to the last component, which was sales, to realize that that was the component that they weren't really getting the most out of. So that's where their focus was. And once that happened, boom, everything went off the charts. And what his system seems to me to allow a small firm architect to be able to do is to really take the pressure off. By doing all these things, it's not added work. It really takes the mental pressure and the stress off of your shoulders to allow you to say, okay, this is what's working. This is what's not working. Implement it. And then you can really kind of fine tune things to the point where you're doing what you want to do. And those other things like sales really, instead of being bad, can become good and grow like he described, grow your business to be able to improve more lives through what you're doing versus being a sales guy.
Folks, I'll leave you with one thing. Nothing happens till you sell something. But if you don't have a plan,
You're not going to sell
something. So hopefully we helped you put a plan together and left you with some information to go back and listen to each other's show to continue to peel back those layers to truly help grow your business. Thanks for taking the time and another great show.
Absolutely.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us. And click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.